listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast.
My name is Andrew. I'm one of the pastors here at DCC. Pastor Rocky is out of town today, and so he has asked me to continue the series that he started last week called Past, Present, and Future, and so that's what we're going to do today. Our text today is going to be found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, and as you're finding that, I want to just do a really quick review to get us caught up. If you missed last week, you missed a great one. Last week, we celebrated 18 years of Destiny Community Church, and God has been so faithful over those 18 years, and we're excited about where he's taking us. But last week, Pastor Rocky focused in on honoring the past, and as he did, he talked about the last 18 years, kind of took us through a historical timeline of DCC over these last almost two decades, and how God has been so good, like how God has been so faithful, not just to our church, but to us as individuals. And when we look back at our past, we can't help but see God's faithfulness in our lives. And he talked about how the past gives us an appreciation of how much God loves us, but the past is a place for remembrance, not residence. We don't live in the past. We can't stay in the past. We've got to keep going forward. And so today we're going to pick up this series with the present. Specifically, we're going to be talking about embracing the present, embracing the present. Matthew 6, starting in verse 25, these are the words of Jesus, and he says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you that it brings truth to our lives, that it corrects us, that it inspires us, that it convicts us. And Father, I pray that your word would do those for us today. Father, I pray that your truth would be evident today. Father, allow us to see how you're moving in our lives through your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I love a good road trip. I appreciate the convenience of flying somewhere, especially if it's far away, but I love a good road trip, hopping in the car and just driving and driving and driving. And I think some of what contributes to that is I think I am probably from the last generation that knows what it's like to take a road trip without the tethers of technology, right? I remember as a kid many years ago, getting in the car with just whatever toys I could carry and a couple of books to entertain me for 10 hours, 12 hours, 14 hours, however long the road trip was. Does anybody remember these days? We're old. That's what that means. If you got your hand up, that means that we're old. Excitement in those moments was, you know, like looking at all of the billboards, looking out the window. That's a lost art. Looking out the window of a car. I don't even know if my kids know why our car has windows. I'll be honest with you. I don't think they even use them. Those were the good old days, right? The good old days without being attached to an iPad driving down the road. The good old days. I wish there was a way to know about the good old days before we actually leave them, as quoted by Andy Bernard, but I digress. And so I remember those days of kind of looking out the window and just enjoying the view. And I remembered this all vividly recently. In the last couple of months, I was driving down the road. My daughter, my 13-year-old daughter, was riding with me. And there was a car that drove, it was here in Newberry, a car drove out in front of us, and I looked at the license plate. It was not a license plate from Florida, and it wasn't like a really, it wasn't like Georgia or any of those close states. I honestly don't remember what state this was from, but I immediately identified it, and it was a state that was pretty far away, not one that you would see very commonly. And I said, oh, look, that's a license plate from wherever, North Dakota, wherever it was from. There's a license plate from there. And she just looked at me. She goes, how do you know all this stuff? And I told her the truth. I said, baby, I'm your dad, and I know everything. Am I right? Like, I didn't tell her that when I was her age, I would go on road trips and have to stare out the window. The most exciting thing that happened on my road trip was when I saw one of those license plates and I could memorize the state that it was from. It is a lost art. But I love road trips. But I figured out that there are a couple of different kinds of ways to approach road trips, and I have a feeling that we've got a lot of people that choose or subscribe to one way or the other in this room. The way that I look at a road trip right now is that I plug in the destination on my phone, and GPS spits out an arrival time, an estimated arrival time. I do not look at that as a goal to be met. I look at that as a record to be broken. Can I get a witness? We are here. I'm telling you, we are here. If it's a minute, I'm fine with being a minute. Or if it's an hour, I will do anything within mostly legal bounds to try to beat that arrival time on GPS. And God forbid someone in my party has to stop to go to the bathroom. And we pull off on that roadside exit at the where, you know, the restroom, the rest area, and you see that semi go by on the interstate that you worked for the last 30 minutes to pass and put in your rearview mirror, and you're like, what is the point even? Let's turn around and go home, right? I have a problem. I get it. But then there are some of you in the room that you are the opposite of that. You punch that GPS and you're like, oh, well, it doesn't really matter. That time is irrelevant. Let's get in the car and let's just go. And if you see a billboard for a restaurant that sounds halfway good, 50 miles off the interstate, you psychos will get off of the interstate. And you'll drive there. And if you see a sign on the way to that restaurant for an antique store that looks kind of promising, you'll stop there too. And then wait, it's the world's largest ball of twine. Let's go stop there too. Like it, the time on that GPS just keeps tracking and rolling and it is irrelevant to you. And it really stresses me out, right? Is there anybody like that in the room? You're like, let's just get there when we get there. I love you. I do. I love you, but I'm praying for you too. But here is what I have realized, that my preference for arriving at a quick time, even though I'm looking out the window and I'm enjoying the sights, I'm doing it at 75 plus at least miles an hour, but I realize that I get so focused on getting to my destination that often I just am trying to get through this moment. It's not really a big deal when we're taking a road trip. However, in life, we have a tendency to do the same thing, don't we? We have a tendency to want to get through this moment of life that we're in to get to whatever is next. We want to get through this moment of our career because we want to get to that next promotion or that next stop, right? Or that next business or that next opportunity. We want to get through this season where we're in our starter home to get to our dream home. We just want to get through this to get to that. Or we want to get through this stage of our kids' lives because changing diapers is not exciting. So we just want to get through this to get to that next stage. Or maybe we've got single brothers and sisters in the room and you're like, I just want to get through this stage of singleness to finally get to that place where I meet Mr. or Mrs. Wright. And without even realizing it, we're trying to get through moments that I believe that God has brought us to. Like we're here. Our bodies are here, but we're not really present. And whether it's that we're looking forward to something that's coming up that we're anticipating and excited about, or we're just in a really challenging season right now and we're just ready for this moment, for this season, for this day to be done, our minds are often pulled away from our present and we are consumed with thoughts from our future. There was a study that was done by Harvard psychologists in 2010. And with this study, they studied 2,250 subjects that all downloaded an app on their phone. And at random times, that app would pop up a reminder and they were asked to record in that moment what they were thinking about. Essentially, are you focused on and paying attention to what you're doing right now, or is your mind, in this study, they called it wandering. Is your mind somewhere else? Is your attention somewhere else? Unsurprisingly, 47% of the time when they were reminded to answer that question, their mind was somewhere else. Almost half of the time, and that was in 2010, I would say that it's probably higher than that now with our access unparalleled to technology that we have in our pocket all the time. But we are often not where our feet are. Our minds are far away from that. So I won't take it personally today that even though we're all in this room and you are sitting in a chair, that at least maybe 50% of you, your mind is far away from here. You're thinking about lunch later. You're thinking about that family vacation that you've got to plan. You're thinking about that tough conversation you have to have. You're thinking about the election. Don't do that. For all my Dolphin fan friends in the room, we're thinking, why can't we have nice things? Like, why can't we just have a quarterback? All us Gators and all you Seminoles, we're hopefully not thinking anything at all. Pray for your football fan friends. We're having a tough time. Unless you're a Miami Hurricanes fan, and then we pray for you anyway. I don't know. But the science reveals what we already know about ourselves. We struggle to be fully present, don't we? Even though we're here, we're not really here. But God's desire for us is to resist the urge to fast forward through this moment and get to the future, to be here right now, to live in the present. We're guided all through Scripture to be present in the present. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 118:24, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Now we know that God made the day yesterday, and we know that God's going to make tomorrow, but the psalmist wants us to spend some time here and acknowledge and recognize this day right now, today, this moment is the day that the Lord has made. God brought us to this moment on purpose specifically, and we're supposed to rejoice in it. We're supposed to rejoice in the fact that God made this day, and we're supposed to rejoice for the fact that we are here in this day. Proverbs 27:1 tells us, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." Essentially, the way that we say this is, we're not promised tomorrow. We have no idea. We have no guarantees past this point right now where you are hearing my voice. We do not know what tomorrow holds. And so instead of being focused on other things, be here, be present right now in this moment. Matthew 6:11, in this same passage of scripture that we read from just a little bit earlier, Jesus' disciples ask him, "How do we pray?" And when he gives them the steps to pray that we now call the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew 6:11, he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." When the disciples are asking Jesus what's important in prayer, Jesus points them back to the Israelites wandering through the wilderness, and they have no food, they have nothing with them at all to make meals, and every single morning they have to rely on the faithfulness of God. Every single morning they wake up and there is manna that has come down from heaven, bread daily. And they had to trust every single day that God was going to provide, because if they tried to store it overnight, it would rot and get worms. And so they had to wake up every single day trusting God. And so when Jesus is teaching the disciples and in turn us how to pray, one of the things that he mentions is ask God for today what we need today. Don't get so preoccupied with all the other things in life that we forget that we need God to provide today. We don't need all the other stuff. We need God to give us what we need for today. Over and over and over again, Scripture serves to realign us to God's desire for us not to live in the past and not fast forward to the present, but to be here in the present right now. Now, that's not to say that the past should be forgotten or that we completely dismiss or disregard the future. In fact, two of the most common commandments in all of Scripture are to remember and to hope. Remember the faithfulness of God, like Pastor Rocky talked about last week. It's important we don't forget those moments that he has provided for us, because it builds our faith for today. And then hope speaks to the future. Hope is the faith that we have that God is in our tomorrow, that he's holding our tomorrow. And so we remember that God was in our past. We have hope that God will be in our future, but we can't live in the past or in the future. As the poet Justin Randall Timberlake says, "Yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery." Keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. I'm not going to sing it. I sang Justin Timberlake at the Destys, and it was a tragedy, so we're not going to go there. Scripture points us to a life where we remember the past and hope for the future, but we embrace the present. That's the invitation of Scripture today. Embrace the present. And perhaps no Scripture is more clear and pointed than Jesus' words from our main text. That last verse that we read in our main text, I want to highlight that, and I want that to be our focus verse today. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, this passage of Scripture is a segment of a much larger sermon that Jesus gives over several chapters in the book of Matthew that we call the Sermon on the Mount. It is one of the most important, most famous sermons that Jesus ever gave. And as he's talking about this weighty subject of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. He's trying to download to his disciples and the several followers that have surrounded him on the side of this hill, what he has really come for is to establish this kingdom, this new way to live, and that he, in fact, is the key for this way of living. And so he's talking about such serious, weighty, theological things like love and humility. He talks about forgiveness in the Sermon on the Mount and compassion. He talks about justice, kindness. And then in the middle of all of that, he emphasizes the need for us to live in the present and not be anxious about the future. In the middle of all of these really important theological foundational ideas, he tells us and reminds us and invites us to not be anxious for tomorrow, but instead to embrace the present right now. And to emphasize his point, he uses food and drink and clothes and birds and flowers. This might seem a little bit odd, but the reality is these are just kind of shorthand for the regular stuff of life, the normal everyday needs and worries and concerns that we have. And the point that Jesus makes is, do the birds wake up every day and worry about how they're going to get food? The answer is no. Why? Because God takes care of them. Are the flowers, are they concerned with looking beautiful every single day? No, why? Because God cares about them. And the salient point is, if God cares about birds and flowers, how much more does he care about you in your life? Because I know the pushback, I get it. We read about birds and flowers and we're like, I'm not a bird and I'm not a flower. I've got, you know, a lot more going on than those things. If the flowers felt the stress that I feel, they'd all be wilted, right? But it just serves the greater point that God is in tomorrow. So we don't have to be anxious. We don't have to worry about that because God takes care of birds and flowers. He surely will take care of me as well. And so his invitation is to focus our attention not on tomorrow, but on today. Now, let me be very clear. Jesus is not saying don't think about tomorrow. He's not saying don't make a plan for tomorrow. He's not encouraging procrastination by saying, why not just leave for tomorrow what you could do today? But he is inviting us to keep our attention on today and not be anxious about a moment that is coming up in our future that we can do absolutely nothing to control. He tells us not to be anxious. That word anxious in the Greek is marinamo. And marinamo is derived from another Greek word, but essentially, when you put them together, you get this idea, this word picture of something that's drawn in opposite directions. It's divided into parts. Simply put, it's pulled apart into different directions. And when we allow stress, and when we allow worry, and when we allow anxiety to fill our minds about the things that we cannot do anything about or the things that we cannot control tomorrow, what happens is we become overwhelmed and we are divided. Our minds, our souls, our hearts, our bodies were never meant to live that way. Our minds try to accomplish through anxiety something our minds were never designed to do, and that's to be separated, to be in two places at one time. Our minds can't be tomorrow and today. And so Jesus is inviting us to not be anxious, not be separated, but be here right now to embrace the present. Be where you are right now. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. But why is this such a foundational point of Scripture? Why is all of Scripture in the words of Jesus in this very prominent sermon where he's teaching us how to pray and the Beatitudes are located in this general area as well? Why is it important enough for him to mention and to bring us back to this idea of not seizing the day, but being where we are today right now in the present? I believe there are several reasons for this. I believe that As we can see, it's well documented the effects that stress and anxiety have on our minds, on our bodies, on our hearts. We realize that it causes all kinds of health side effects. We realize that it decreases our lifespan. God's desire is for us to be healthy, and so he knows that if we're anxious, that that's not a healthy way to live, and so he invites us into a place where we're not living an anxiety-filled, ridden life. That's one of the reasons I believe that this is a constant throughout Scripture. It's a constant reminder. I think it's also an invitation from God for us to not put our trust in possessions, in worldly things, that when we only spend our time trying to accumulate things to set us up for our future, if that's our only goal in life, we recognize and we realize that we will be left feeling empty-handed, even though we have a lot of stuff, because that's not where meaning and purpose is really found. I think all of that is true, but I really believe that at the center of it all, at the middle of the heart of Jesus' words and all through Scripture, when there is this invitation for us to live in the present and not have anxiety about the future, is this. It's that God desires to meet with us. God's desire is to be with us, to meet with us, to commune with us. And right now, this moment, the present, is the only moment where we can meet with God. God's greatest desire is to be with us, and right now is the only time that we can experience his presence. I'm not saying that we can't remember what he's done in our past and the times that we have met him in our past, and I'm not saying that he won't be there in our future, because I believe that he will. That's where hope and faith come into play. But right now is the only time that I can actively choose in my life's timeline to meet with God today, right now, this moment. You see, God's not limited by time. God created time, and so it's going to blow our minds a little bit, but his presence, the presence of God, transcends our linear understanding of time. We live on a timeline. We're born at a certain time, and our life continually moves further on the timeline. However, Revelation 1:8 tells us that Jesus says, I am the Alpha and Omega, that means beginning and end, who is right now, Jesus is right now, and who was, that's previous, and who is to come. What God is saying is, I am not confined to the present or the past or the future. In fact, to God, there really is not a past, a present, or a future. Everything is the present for God, because he exists outside of our comprehension and our understanding of time. However, God is not limited by time, but we are. God is not limited by the timeline, but we are. And so in this moment is the only moment that I can choose right now to meet with God. How amazing is it that God designed our lives in a way that we are on a timeline, but he brought us to this moment right now. Right now, we are sitting here, not by accident, not by happenstance, and not by chance. We have been brought to this moment by God because his intention is to meet with us, for us to experience his presence right now, and how finite of us to be thinking about the things we're worried about tomorrow in this moment right now when we could be spending it worshiping God. God has brought us to this moment to meet with us, and so we are given this invitation to embrace the present. Embrace this moment. And I know that that can feel really difficult when times are tough, but the invitation stays the same. Embrace today. Don't have anxiety about tomorrow. Don't try and fast forward through today. Embrace the present right now. Embrace today. However bleak it looks, however full of joy it looks, and everything in between, embrace today. Embrace this moment, because this is the moment that God wants to meet with you right now. Embrace this moment in your career that you've been trying to fast forward through. Embrace this moment of the mundane, of the P&L statements, of the taxes, of the paperwork, of the crazy bosses and the inept employees and all of the things in between. Embrace right now, because if we try to fast forward through this, then there's something that we're gonna miss that God wants to do in us right now. He wants to meet with us right now in our career, and he wants to build in us what we're gonna need tomorrow to excel in our career and be successful, but we're not gonna get that from God if we don't meet with him today and if we just try and fast forward to tomorrow. Embrace this moment. Embrace this season of your marriage. And I get it. Not every marriage in this room is like all birds and flowers. I get it. I get it's not all great all the time. And maybe you're saying, well, I don't want to embrace this moment because I want that moment. I don't want to embrace this moment right now of my marriage because I wish that they would be more like this or more like that. But when we choose to follow the invitation of Jesus to not worry about tomorrow, it means that we choose to embrace today in our relationship with our spouse. And it means that we choose to invest and sow today in our marriage what we want to see in our marriage tomorrow. All those things were like, I wish they did this. I wish my marriage was like this. What are you doing to make the marriage like that? Are you just hoping and worrying that maybe one day that will happen? That's not the way that it works. And so the invitation is don't be anxious about tomorrow in your marriage, but instead embrace today. As parents, whew, this is convicting as a parent. Guys, we've got to embrace the stage of parenting, the journey of parenting that we're on right now. I know all the women were just at the beach retreat over the weekend, and all the men felt all of the stages of parenting as you left us to have a great time with our kids and then swore that they wouldn't tell them how much we ate out, right? But in parenting, we get 18 years with our kids, right? 18 years is what we get with our children. If we're fortunate, that's the time that we have. And the statistics tell us that about 75% of the actual time that you're going to get with your kids happens up until the age of 12. I'm not trying to depress you, but this is the reality. And we know this. If you have kids that are growing older, you know that this is how this works. We are given a finite amount of time with our kids. And so often what we find is that we're worried about the next stage of our kids' lives. Are they going to get into that class? Are they going to get into that school? Are they going to get onto that sports team? Are they going to be okay with this? Are they going to be all right with that? Are they going to grow out of this thing? Are they going to grow out of that thing? And if we're not worried about the future there, then we're just trying to get through this stage right now because we're looking forward to the next one when they don't have as many obstacles to overcome, and we're constantly trying to push and look forward to the next thing when the invitation from Jesus is what? Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Instead, embrace today. Embrace today with all the challenges. Embrace today when your kids frustrate you. Embrace today when they do the opposite of what you ask them to do. Embrace today when you have to ask them 8,000 times to clean their room. Embrace today is the invitation that we get from Jesus. Or maybe you're in the room and you're one of our single brothers or sisters, and you're just wanting this season to be done so that you can find that next season. But the invitation from God is to embrace today. Embrace that singleness. And I know that you've heard it said, and you probably are tired of hearing this. If you're single in the room, you're probably tired of hearing this. Well, you know, while you're waiting, God is working in your life. I believe that's absolutely true. I do. I believe that God is doing some things in your heart, but sometimes it's easy to lose that perspective when you've been waiting for a while for Mr. or Mrs. Right. But let me help you explain this perspective a little bit more. When we embrace today, we start to realize maybe that you're not just waiting for God to do something in your life, you're waiting for God to do something in your future spouse's life as well. And maybe that person's an idiot right now, and he's got to save them before they're good enough for you. So maybe the waiting is not as much for you as it is for them. I'll leave that there, and you can figure that out when you meet them. Some of you are looking at your spouse, and you're like, yep, that was you. Bless your hearts. Embrace this moment. Embrace today. Embrace the present. Embrace the mundane. Embrace the moments of joy. Embrace the moments of grief. And embrace the moments of victory and of defeat. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Embrace the present because God holds tomorrow and he wants to meet with us today. Right now, God wants to meet with us. And when I choose to trust God with my future, he can do miraculous things with my present. When we choose to trust God with our future, what we do is we surrender the space. We make space in our lives for God to do in us what we're gonna need to overcome tomorrow's trials. So often what we do is we spend a lot of time and energy worrying about what to do tomorrow, how we can overcome this issue, how we can overcome this problem, how we're gonna deal with that, or how we're gonna deal with this, or whatever it is, and we spend all of our energy and anxiety trying to fix something that hasn't even happened yet, and then we have no idea how to happen, when God is saying, if you'll just embrace today, if you'll just take today and meet with me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to build in you all of the things that you're going to need to overcome tomorrow's adversity. When you embrace today, when you recognize that this is the moment that God wants to meet with us, he will download into us that patience, that character, that trust, that perseverance that we're going to need in that next season, that we can never worry away. God will build that inside of us if we just surrender to him and if we just embrace today. Embrace the present, because when we do, God does miraculous things in us. But God doesn't want to just do miraculous things in us. You see, there's another part of this equation that when we embrace today, when we choose to meet with God today, he does miraculous things in us, but then he wants to be a part of us doing miraculous things. He wants to do miraculous things through us as well. You see, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is telling the people that are gathered around, don't be anxious for tomorrow. Don't worry about those things tomorrow. Don't lean into those things tomorrow. Instead, embrace today. But Jesus doesn't just talk about it. Jesus doesn't just teach it to his disciples. He lives out everything that he teaches. Jesus, with his time on earth, 33 some odd years, and then about 3 years of active ministry where he's going around teaching and preaching and healing and declaring the kingdom of God, he doesn't have a whole lot of time to do a whole lot of work. I think we can all agree, if you look through the scripture, you realize that Jesus is a very busy person. He was very future-oriented. He was mission-minded. He knew why he was here. He had a lot to do. He had a mission to accomplish, a kingdom to establish, and a hell to defeat. He had a lot going on, and he was absolutely focused on the future. And if anybody had a right to be anxious about tomorrow, don't you think it was Jesus who knew that he was going to be executed? That knew that his reason in being here on this earth was to take on the sin of humanity while he remained sinless? Was to die an excruciating death for us? Was to hang on that cross while people mocked him? If anybody had any reason in the history of all humanity to be anxious, I think Jesus might win the argument right there. But instead, he chose to embrace the present. We see this all throughout Jesus's life. Especially there's this one moment in Luke chapter 18 where he's traveling to Jericho and there's a blind man who's calling out to him. He's crying out and he's begging Jesus to do something for him, to heal him, to make him see again. And when the people around Jesus, his followers, his entourage are all hearing this man, they try to shush him. They're like, man, Jesus has got stuff going on. Jesus is busy. Jesus can't spend time with every person that calls out his name. But then we see in Luke chapter 18 and verse 40, Jesus' response. Jesus, what? Stopped. Jesus is heading to the finish line. Jesus is on his way to complete his mission, to give his life for humanity, for the sins of the world. That's where he is headed. That's where he is focused. But in the middle of that moment, he is focused on the future, but he is not too busy to stop. And he stops. And we read on. And he commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" What a powerful question. What do you want me to do for you? And he said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. You see, Jesus moved with purpose, but he was always present. He was busy, but Jesus was never hurried. He was never too focused on tomorrow to serve someone today. And I wonder this morning if the same thing can be said about me and you. Can the same thing be said about us? Or are we so worried about the future? Are we so preoccupied with something that is coming up in our lives that we're unavailable to participate in somebody's miracle today? Because I believe that God wants to use you and me to perform or to do miracles in other people's lives. This practically fleshes out so many different ways, but we can look at it very simply like this. Maybe God is calling you to a moment of generosity. I believe that we're all called to live with open hands in a spirit of generosity, but something specifically, God's calling on you. You feel a moving in your life to give to a certain person or give to a certain cause or give to a certain organization or a project. To bless that, to forward, to advance a mission, to advance the kingdom of God. But I'll be honest with you, if God is calling me to do that right now, but all I'm focused on is the anxiety that I have of making the next payment and of making ends meet. And I'm not sure where this is gonna come from, and all I'm concerned about are the numbers, that I'm gonna miss the opportunity right now to be a conduit for God to do the miraculous in somebody else's life. And maybe it's not financial, maybe it's just your time. Time is incredibly valuable and it is fleeting. It is finite, right? We only get a certain amount of it. And maybe God is nudging you, moving you to a place where somebody needs your time. You need to be present. You need to be with somebody. You need to walk through something with somebody. You need to come beside somebody who's struggling, and you just need to spend time with them. But you're so busy with the agenda. You have so much stuff going on, worried about what's coming up tomorrow, that you can't see that and you can't spare that time today because we're anxious about tomorrow, and we deny the opportunity for God to do the miraculous through our lives into somebody else's life. I'll be honest with you, in a moment of full transparency, I struggle with this a lot. If my story at the beginning didn't tip you off, I am very focused on goals, very task-driven and oriented. And I have a tendency to block out the periphery. I do. And I remember being so convicted when I was a youth pastor at a conference, and the speaker that day said this one phrase. I don't remember anything else this man said, but he said this. He said, "It's hard to hug a moving target." And in the context of what he was saying, as youth ministry, a bunch of youth pastors in the room, don't be so busy doing the work of ministry that you're missing out on the ministry. Like, don't be moving so fast that when somebody needs you, you're too busy to be with them and spend time with them and give them of the resource of time. And so often I find myself just doing, and flying by people that need my presence, my gift of time in their life. Not that I'm anything special, but they just need somebody with them. If you're one of those people in the room that I have flown by on a Sunday because I'm on my way to do something else, sincerely, I apologize. Most of the time, I got to do that thing. But we've got to stay in a place where we're embracing the present, because not only does God want to do things in me when we do, but God wants to do miracles through my life as well. Right now is where God wants to meet us, but we have to trust him enough to embrace today, and that means that we've got to let go of tomorrow. The pretty well-known theologian, professor, priest, and author Henry Nguyen tells of this story of him visiting a traveling circus. And when he's watching the circus, he was amazed by all of the acrobatic acts that they did at the circus, especially the trapeze artists. And after the show, he was able to go and meet with some of them, and he kind of started a friendship with them. And one day he was sitting there and he was asking to kind of pick their brains. What is the secret to you doing what you do, flying around, and all of these amazing feats of strength and all the acts of agility that you perform? What is the secret? And this is what the trapeze artist told Henry Nguyen in that moment. He said, "As a flyer, I must have complete trust in my catcher. The public might think that I'm the great star of the trapeze, but the real star is Joe, my catcher. He has to be there for me with split-second precision and grab me out of the air. The secret," he said, "is that the flyer does nothing and the catcher does everything. When I fly, I simply have to stretch out my arms and hands and wait for the catcher to catch me." Henry Nguyen was kind of dumbfounded by this. He said, you really do nothing?" The reply was nothing. "A flyer must fly, and a catcher must catch, and the flyer must trust with outstretched arms that his catcher will be there for him." You see, God is already in our future. He doesn't exist in the bounds of time, but he is already in our future. We don't need to worry about what tomorrow will bring. We just need to stretch our arms out in surrender and trust that God will catch us. Because to embrace today, we've got to really kind of let go of tomorrow, don't we? So don't worry, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Not because it's not intimidating, not because we don't have responsibilities, but because God is in this moment right now. And he will provide for that moment when that moment comes. Embrace today with all of its tedious, mundane moments. Embrace today with all of the difficulties and challenges, because what it's doing is it's producing in us what we need for tomorrow. Embrace today because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. So let's accept the invitation from Jesus today to embrace the present, because God holds our future and he is here right now, today, in this moment, to meet with us.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.